sunny Hawaii. Welcome to another episode of Magic the Amateuring. I'm one of your hosts, Maria, reporting live from, as aforementioned, sunny Hawaii, paradise of the land where birds eat out of your hand and waterfalls are what you shower in.
Hey, everybody. This is Megan. Welcome. I'm recording from Minnesota. It's nighttime.
Oh.
Just rode my bike home in the dark. It was cold and I didn't bring mittens. All right.
So Megan, how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good, you know. It's good. Things are good. Everything's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's generally, yeah. You know, it's good.
Yeah, mittens, huh? Mittens, yeah. Did I hear that word?
Who doesn't love some good, you know, fall weather? Fall's great.
Yeah, fall. That word has exited my vocabulary within the last couple of days. It doesn't mean anything to me anymore.
I don't know, you know, if Hawaii has a fall.
No. Not unless you mean, like, I'm falling for the beautiful weather in Hawaii, which you don't have.
Wow, are you trying to pick up Hawaii?
Maybe I am. It's just some sick rubbins going on here because I'm hanging out in Hawaii before the pro tour. I'm not even working at the pro tour. I just wanted to come.
Oh my god.
And I tried to get Megan to go with me, but she has parents and obligations or something. I don't understand.
I know, and this cat.
Oh yeah, your cat.
Yeah.
Megan is a new cat, and she worries about it constantly.
I do worry about her constantly. But, you know, I think she enjoyed me being gone. So I'm going to try to worry about it less.
Well, we've got a great show that's spanning the ocean for you this week. We're going to talk about Kaladesh draft archetypes. Megan and I were both recently at GP Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So we saw a lot of draft up close and personal, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. You know, we were all up in that draft space.
Really personal. Like, I smelled that draft.
Up in its business. You
know? Yes.
It was, and like, of course, excuse we're gonna me, can you give me some space? And I was like, yes, because I respect you.
Consent. It's sexy, you know?
Yeah.
We're also going to do a little bit of a deeper dive to talk a little bit more about GP Atlanta and kind of do a Pro Tour preview ahead of Pro Tour Kaladesh down here in Honolulu, which will be cool. And we've got a Flavor Text Theater coming your way as well.
That's right. We don't know what it is yet, but it'll be good.
It'll be something. This show is spanning like three or four time zones.
Four,
I don't even know.
What time is it?
Yeah,
there?
Four.
Did it just turn like five?
Five.
Oh, it's five. Time zones.
What?
I know.
Wow. That's crazy.
You're way out there.
I am. You can see this lovely pool scene behind me if you're watching on Tulare Community College. The frolicking and the palm trees, they're real.
Oh, boy.
Today I gave a fish a high five in a coral reef.
Damn it.
I didn't touch the wildlife. It was a joke. Or was it? Or did I find Nemo? Anyway, before we start the show, we have to say thank you to a few people, and a few of those people are you! Thank you so much if you support the show on patreon.com/mtacast. You make the show possible, and we've had a few new patrons this month already, and we're ever so grateful for everyone who's joined. And if you are a patron, you get a chance to win some sweet prizes through our Flavor Text Theater segments on the show. We crack some packs. We send the rares off to both somebody who's just joined this month and a patron, somebody who's been a patron for any amount of time at all.
That's right. We sometimes also throw cool other prizes in. Like this month we have in the general drawing a playmat and playmat bag.
It's pretty sweet.
From original or classic magic tokens. Classic art tokens.
Yeah, so join up and become part of the less than 1% family. We also have to say thank you to cardkingdom.com/mtacast. Head over there to buy all your singles. The Pro Tour is coming up, Megan, as we said. And you don't want to be left behind with the janky deck. That's all I have to say.
How many copies of Smuggler's Copter do you have? Go get them now. Right now.
Is it 20? Because it should probably be 20.
It should be 20. You're going to play it in every deck. For forever.
So true.
Very true.
And Card Kingdom is a ships their cards really fast, and they have super great customer service. So they're an amazing place to buy your singles as you're getting ready for the new standard season.
Absolutely.
Do you like this hula dance I'm doing, Megan?
No.
It's not a hula dance. It looked more like a sick robot.
Do you want to see me hula dance?
Yeah, I do.
It's the hula hoop. I'm hula hooping.
Oh, it's really good. You look like one of those hula ladies that's on the front of my car.
Literally, I'm just pretending as if I'm in a hula hoop. We both just look like really bad robots.
That's the story of our life, Megan. Story of our life. For the noobs, Kaladesh draft archetypes. Ooh. Guess what, everybody? Kaladesh is in full swing, and I bet your drafting is just the thing that you need to do, because it's awesome. I've had a lot of fun drafting this set so far. How about you, Megan?
I've had a great time. How much are you drafting Kaladesh? It's not enough. You should be drafting it more.
I agree. This set is amazingly fun, and I know a lot of people loved Eldritch Moon, like, for good reason. Eldritch Moon is great, but like, for me, Kaladesh is just like really hitting it. It's exactly what I want to do. It's got some silly stuff. It's got really interesting, complex stuff. Kaladesh has been a winner for me all around.
Yeah, it's the jam so far, man. So Maria, tell me about a couple of draft archetypes that you yourself have drafted.
Well, my number one draft archetype that I've been drafting in Kaladesh is actually a blue-white flyers archetype, which they classify as blink or bounce. Mm-hmm. And I think you can think of it in that way, or you can think of it as just like flyers that are going to come in. Things like Sky Swirl Harrier is going to fly over the top, which is a 3/4 for 5. Mm-hmm. We've got like just little wind drakes. It's 2/2 for 3. Like, get in there, buddy. Get in the deck.
Yeah.
Fly over. Dukara Peafowl. You're just a 2/4 for a blue. I can give you flying. Like, worth it. And then I'm going to lock down your stuff with removal spells like Captured by the Consulate or Revoke Privileges or Malfunction. Yeah. And I'm just going to lock down your stuff, and I'm just going to soar in the air. Don't care. But also, if you're playing this archetype, you can consider drafting things like Cloud Blazer if you're lucky. That card's a house.
The classic.
And the classic. Just blink it with Aviary Mechanic and go to Value Town. You know what I mean?
Or a Wispweaver Angel. 6 mana, 4/4.
Wispweaver Angel.
Flyer.
Exactly. These are all the things that I want in my life. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or what's the one that comes with 2 Thopters?
Experimental Aviator.
Experimental Aviator, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, I think I'm in love with this archetype. I don't know how you feel about it, Megan, but it's been my favorite so far.
No, I think it's very classic and very solid.
So how about you? What's been your number one BF in Kaladesh so far?
Well, I've been drafting lots of energy decks. I love the energy combo decks. I have yet to pass a Whirl of Virtuoso if it comes my way.
So good.
Because I'm just like, yes, give me all that energy. Let's do crazy things with it. It's just a ton of fun. But then the other day I drafted a black-white artifact control deck, which was super cool. It had 2 Restoration Gearsmiths.
which, must be nice.
Like, that card is just great.
It is.
It's the 3. It's the 2 black white, and it's a 3/3. And when it comes into play, you can return an artifact or a creature from your graveyard to your hand. And it's just like, it's just great. You get a 3/3 for 4 mana, which is not shabby, and you get to bring something back. It's super cool. In that deck, I also had a Cataclysmic Gearhulk, which was obviously sick. And like, I also had an Aviary Mechanic, so I could do things like bounce my Gear Hulk, or I could, like, if I already, you know, had been developing my board and played the restoration Gearsmith, I could bounce it with an Aviary Mechanic and then play my Cataclysmic Gear Hulk and, you know, like, kill a bunch of stuff and then play my Restoration Gearsmith and, like, get stuff back. It was great.
That's just evil, man.
It was really good.
It's important to talk about archetypes in draft, too, beyond just, like, this current format. And also relevant in Kaladesh itself, because like if you're aware of them going into your draft, not that you have to do these sorts of things. You can experiment. You can get weird, but it'll help give your draft a direction if you're the kind of person that wants that sort of thing.
Yeah. So another, if there's a lot of synergies in a draft format, it can help make your deck more powerful if those synergies are pretty pushed. So for instance, like something like the blue-white blink is going to be, you know, obviously blue-white flyers is very classic, and there's a lot of ways that it's always going to be good because you can just fly over and usually, you know, get in lethal damage while your opponent is kind of trying to, like, muddle through on the ground. But if you're, you know, thinking about the synergies in Kaladesh specific to that archetype, then you can end up with an even more powerful deck because you can be thinking about stuff like, if I pick up an experimental aviator, I'm going to want to also pick up some of the blink and bounce stuff because then I can just make more Thopters. Or if I have a Cloud Blazer, I'm going to want to blink and bounce things. So,
precisely. Another archetype that I personally haven't had a chance to draft yet, Megan, but I'm chomping at the bit, is red, green, big, like just aggro and energy, like big beefy dudes making some energy. My long tusk cubs coming on in, my thriving rhinos ready to thrive and stay alive.
Your Voltaic crawlers really getting in there.
My Maul Fist Doorbuster is going to be like, you thought you wanted to block? Just kidding. Knock, knock, too late. So I haven't had a chance to do this draft yet. Melissa DeTora, friend of the show, has drafted a deck with four Voltaic Brawlers in it. Everybody,
that was
four.
Insane. That was insane.
She lived the dream.
Oh, boy.
So it's possible.
Yeah.
This is the one I really want to draft. And I think green is a super strong color in this set.
Uh-huh.
And it's something we saw a lot of at Grand Prix Atlanta, which we'll talk about a little later. So that's one that I want to try, but I haven't had a chance to yet.
Yeah. Kaladesh is also interesting in that they've done this in sets before, and they've done this in Kaladesh, where there is a cycle of gold cards at uncommon that sort of are signposts to the different deck archetypes. So like I mentioned Restoration Gearsmith, which is the black-white archetype's kind of signpost uncommon gold card. And then again, it points towards, like, it's trying to be kind of that controlling artifact-based strategy because it's going to let you, you know, maybe you trade away the Dunned Operative early, and it's going to let you get that card back that you need. You know, it has Death Touch. It can block a lot of their big stuff later on. It's going to get that value for you in a deck that's looking to go late. Voltaic Brawler, obviously, it's like very aggressive. It's a 3-2 for 2. It has energy that's going to make it even more aggressive, so it's kind of a signpost for that. Same thing with Cloud Blazer. It's a flyer, and it has a synergy that if you blink or bounce it, it's going to be even more insane.
Yeah, and you mentioned Whirler Virtuoso, too.
Yeah.
Just like exactly what Red Blue wants to be doing, making some energy, making some flyers, and it's very tempo based deck found.
And it's kind of it's the one of the ones that's a little bit more combo-y. You have stuff like Era of Innovation, which you can, you know, if you make a Thopter, you can just pay one and you're gonna get two of that energy back when that Thopter comes into play from your Whirler Virtuoso. So you're super close to just making another Thopter off Whirler Virtuoso.
So let's just run through quickly what some of the other archetypes you might run into are. There's green-white, which is like tokens and going wide, and cards we can look at that point to this strategy are Engineered Might, which gives plus two, plus two, or plus five to one creature, or plus two, and Vigilance to all your dudes, and Inspired Charge, which gives plus one to all your dudes at instant speed.
Yeah.
So those are kind of like the big payoffs for green-white. Mm-hmm. Red-black, Artifact Aggro, which we see in Standard now, apparently, is good enough. If it's good enough for Standard, it's good enough for Draft.
Oh,
excuse me, I have a delivery, Megan. I'm just going to need to pause for a second. A delivery is...
Oh,
my God.
Is this an absurd drink? Am I about to see you get past, like, just the most absurd, like... Is that a drink inside of a pineapple? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now?
If you aren't watching the video version of this show, you are missing out because this is the most ridiculous thing that has literally ever happened to me.
It has four umbrellas in it. I can count four umbrellas from here. I can't see Maria's face.
I'm blocked by it. Look it, I can take the top off.
Oh my God. I'm so jealous.
Megan, I'm going to send you one in the mail, okay?
Sounds good.
That is some alcohol. Okay, I'm going to try and keep this in the shot as I drink it.
Perfect.
Just for fun.
Yep. So we were in archetypes. The red-black unlicensed disintegration, which obviously is a great removal spell that also deals some damage to the face. Red-white vehicles.
Veteran motorist is a signpost for this deck, but so is DePaula. She's a great dwarf pilot. Both of them want to pilot your vehicles, so draft some vehicles, draft these dudes, put them in the vehicles, and hit the gas.
As do the uncommons Gearshift Ace and Speedway Fanatic. I think that Speedway Fanatic especially is like, veteran motorist is obviously very good, but Speedway Fanatic at this point, the way I've seen it, is almost better in that deck. Playing something like that on two and then Renegade Freighter on three, like I think that deck is nearly unbeatable if someone attacks you with a Renegade Freighter on three because that Speedway Fanatic gave it haste. It's just gross.
Yeah, Renegade Freighter, one of the all-stars in the format, I believe. Yeah. It's like, I think it's in here, too, to keep a good balance in the draft format, because we'll talk about this, too, but I think Kaladesh seems, at this point at least, relatively healthy in that you can do silly things if you want, or you can be punished for doing silly things by cards like Renegade Freighter.
Yeah, absolutely. Very true.
So we talked about blue-red artifact and energy combo, blue-green big energy. So this is, you know, again, your Riparian Tigers, dudes that you're pumping up and making big because of the energy that you've gotten. Green-black is +1/+1 counters matter, and we see the signpost for this deck in hazardous conditions, which gives creatures -2/-2 that don't have any counters on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned white-black. So yeah, we've covered, that's all of them, kids. Hope you're taking notes.
We missed blue-black, which is Contraband Kingpin, which is sort of artifact-based control also.
Correct.
Contraband Kingpin, just a sweet card that lets you scry, gains you some life. It's just a great blocker. Good card.
Yeah. It's a quality card. I've yet to play, a control deck in this format, but I'm sure it'll happen someday, right, Megan?
I'm sure.
If I open, like, Demon of Dark Schemes or something, I'll probably still be aggro.
Noxious Gear Hulk.
Yeah, they'd get a pretty good.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Mm-hmm,
I'd do that.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm interested to find out is what everybody thinks are the strongest archetypes yet in Kaladesh. I think there's a lot of viable options that you have. Some colors, I think, are stronger than others. I think some people are saying the blue commons are kind of not as powerful as, say, green, for example.
Yeah.
But I found that they do have good serviceable cards. They're a good support color, is the way I would put it. So
yeah.
I don't know. That's just my initial thoughts. If you guys have any thoughts, please tweet at us at MTAcast. I would like to know in our non-scientific study, what you think.
I've also, you know, we've talked here a lot about the synergies that are going on in Kaladesh Draft and the archetypes, but I think it was also Frank Karsten at GP Atlanta who was saying he's also just been drafting a lot of just like, you know, basic good draft decks where it's like, you know, you're going to keep your creature count, you're going to prioritize bombs, removal, evasion, you know, the classic, you know, like a good curve. And he's been doing really well with those, too. So Kaladesh, while it does have all of these synergies available to it, does also sound like it might be a format where if you're just, you know, using good basic draft principles, it's going to be able to get you pretty far, too.
Yep, I think that's totally true and completely accurate. Frank Karsten, smart man. Smart man.
Like, scary smart.
Yeah. It's so funny because even in real life, he will still like approach it with like a magic mindset and call things optimal or suboptimal.
I feel like that's a lot of magic players.
That's true. GP Atlanta retrospective. We're getting retro and we're going back to last weekend when Grand Prix Atlanta was lighting up the southern coast, playing Kaladesh Limited for the first time in a competitive environment. Grand Prix Atlanta!
That's right, everybody. We're getting real old school by traveling back in time 4 days from today.
We sure are.
To Saturday, where, you know, like Maria said, Kaladesh was happening down in the Atlanta World Congress Center, the coldest building I've ever been in my life.
It was freezing. It was like we were doing the show inside of a giant freezer, Megan.
At the end of it, I was like, wow, this is a way that you could legitimately, like, I felt like I was being punished for something. It was so cold
like
in there.
Torture.
I was like, Georgia hates me for some reason. And like, I don't know why, but they're punishing me by putting me in this building.
Megan was doing text coverage and I was taking my first spin as play-by-play at GP Atlanta in between rounds. So I have to wear like this like suit jacket or whatever, which is not warm enough. Between rounds, I went and specifically bought a sweatshirt and like would rip off my suit jacket and put on the sweatshirt in between rounds and like do like little jumping jacks in the corner so I could keep myself warm.
I was wearing, on day two, I was wearing a sweater, a hoodie over the sweater, a scarf, and a hat.
I wish I had brought
gloves to type in.
Yeah, I believe you. It was cold.
It was so cold. But
despite the fact that it was cold, it was also really cool, if you see what I did there, to see Kaladesh.
I got it.
Limited in action. We saw a bunch of sealed coming in on Saturday and a bunch of draft on Sunday. Oh, it was so great to be able to watch that much limited up close, Megan.
Yeah, it was really cool. So a couple of the decks, like on day one, that went undefeated, they're kind of across the spectrum. There was like a black-white kind of more control-oriented deck that had like Tidy Conclusion, and it had a Cataclysmic Gearhulk, and like a bunch of copies of Die Young.
Yep.
Then there was a deck that was like literally five color good stuff. As I was typing up the deck list the next morning, I had to go find the guy who was playing it because I couldn't tell if it was marked that he had played the Aether Squall Leviathan, because it was his only blue card.
Oh, Aether Squall.
Aether Squall Ancient.
What? That's three blue.
He was splashing that card.
Yes. Or two blue? I don't know. It's a big commitment.
So it was like green based, but it had like some of everything in it, which was kind of crazy. Afterwards, I was like, "Wait, is this an Aether Squall Ancient in your deck?" And he was like, "Yeah." And I was like, "Wow." All
okay, right. Just checking.
Yeah. There was a guy who, it was pretty funny. He was just there for like his friend's bachelor party.
Yeah.
And he ended up losing one game on all of day one, and he was playing like red black aggro. He had a Chandra in it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Think this is kind of like the story of the weekend a little bit, is that there were so many decks performing well across the spectrum, like all different sorts of decks, and one that we saw in the feature match area had three mythics in it, so it had two Gear Hulks and Sky Sovereign, console flagship, versus Cedric Phillips' deck, which was like just a little fast, aggressive Renegade. It had Cedric's deck had five vehicles in it.
Wow.
And it was just very aggressive, like beat your face in. And it managed to beat the deck with like those absurd mythic rares,
which I
think is pretty telling too.
Yeah. I also on day two, I watched a draft by, I watched the second draft of the guy who went undefeated up until the finals. So he won 14 rounds straight through and then drew into the top eight and then won the quarters and semis and then lost in the finals. And so like I watched his second draft and it turned out to be like, looking at it, it was like a little bit of a train wreck. Which he knew afterwards too. it was just like, and it's not that he was drafting poorly, it's that like his seat just kept getting passed nothing good. There were like no good cards in the packs that he got passed. It was crazy. He got like, he had one playable rare in the whole thing. And then he ended up, you know, he still went on to win two matches with that deck to make the top eight. And it was just like, you know, straight up like taking this pile of cards from a bad seat and like putting together like a functional deck and just playing it well. It was really cool.
Yeah, we saw a lot of that, like people making the best out of a bad situation, people crafting crazy decks, like Sam Black had a super sick, like, energy-based deck using modules. Yeah. We had somebody who had a double Panharmonicon deck.
Yeah.
Like, what? And we also saw people playing very straightforward, aggressive decks, making use of, as I stated earlier, like Renegade Freighter or other vehicles and just smashing face, which to me is a sign of a really super fun format that you can do both of those things and they can all coexist.
Yeah.
So no, the champion of Grand Prix Atlanta was Carlos Ramau from Brazil.
Yeah.
He was a world champion back in 2002.
Yeah.
And coming back to the top.
He was also the Magic Online World Champion in 2010.
Yeah, so he's had some victories under his belt, and Atlanta's another feather in his cap.
Yeah.
He drafted a mono green deck for the top eight.
Splashing,
which was
one Skywhaler shot and one Aetherborn Marauder.
It was very strange, like, because Marshall and I called the draft and we're like, is he mono green? I think he's mono green. And then we found out that nobody else at the table, nobody had drafted green. So he was the only green drafter.
Yeah.
And he got like almost a last pick Pima Outrider, which is a good sign that that's happening. But then we noticed that he put in what, Revoke Privileges and Aetherborn Marauder, and we're just like, why? But hey, no questions asked. You won the GP.
It wasn't Revoke Privileges. It was Skywhaler Shot.
Oh, yeah, Skywhaler Shot. So, so I guess why not? He managed to take it home.
Yeah. What was really crazy in the finals is that, like, game two, which is the one where he had, like, his most insane start, it was, like, turn two, Sage of Shyla's Claim, which is fine, but then turn three, Long Tusk Cub with, like, all this energy, and then turn four, Bristling Hydra.
Yeah.
Which is just an insane start. That's the game of the finals that he ended up losing to, like, flyer, random blocker, inspired charge.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
That was a great game to watch. You can go back through the archives, either on Twitch or on YouTube, Magic's YouTube channel, and check that game out, because that in particular was like, it was so close. It was so close. And the way that his opponent, Cash Turner, was playing was pretty brilliant in order to eke out a win against that awesome start from Ramau. So
yeah, it was really cool.
Recommend.
Cash Turner was the player that I was talking about, that like he had the really rough draft and then managed to make two wins out of it. So, yeah, definitely the player, like, good at getting out of a tight spot.
Something else that I noticed, I don't know if you noticed this, Megan, was kind of the idea that random artifacts can be better than you might think they are. For example, like the card Doomed Operative, it's just a 2/2, but it becomes a 3/2 with Death Touch if you have an artifact, which is pretty good for a 2-drop.
I love that card. I think that card is quite good sometimes, or quite good a lot of the time.
Yeah, and if you don't have a servo around to help you out, well, you can, like, help yourself out by drafting cards like Inventor's Goggles. There were so many Inventor's Goggles running around.
Yeah.
Even Consulate Skygate, some people were playing that card, which is an 0/4 defender with reach.
Actually, so something that I talked to a couple of players about over the weekend that I thought was really interesting was how they don't think that kind of, like, the middle of the line 3-drops in this set are very good. It's not that they're not on their face good cards, like the 2/3 with prowess for 3, for instance. You know, on their face, they're totally fine, and in any other set, they'd be totally serviceable. But in this set, there's stuff like Consulate Skygate, which is actually in this set a very good card because it can come down on 2 and then just block basically everything
forever.
Yeah, and then you have also at common Pima Outrider, which just, like, wrecks everything with 3 power or 3 toughness. Because it can be a 4/4 for 4. And it's just, You know, that three drop slot in this set isn't as impressive as it usually, you know, or as, you know, solid as it usually would be.
That's an interesting point. I think, too, I kept asking people, would you pack one, pick one, a Cloud Blazer? And most people were like, all day, every day I'd do that.
Yeah.
And it's a gold card, you know?
Yeah.
It's like that good.
I also think people are, like in this set, like cards being gold, people have just been like, I'll splash that.
Yeah, we have cards like Prophetic Prism, which is another like cheap little artifact that's kind of like was kind of a little bit of the star of the weekend, along with Attuned with the Aether. Everybody was playing that.
Yeah, that card has gone from like, you know, wheeling the table to like, I'll pick that.
Like, yes, please, second pick.
Yep.
No big deal.
Not a big deal.
Anyway. Yeah. So. I don't know. It was just a great weekend overall.
Yeah.
Megan, did you have any like favorite moments of the tournament?
Let's see. Oh, I was excited. So those of you who have watched Enter the Battlefield, will remember the story, or maybe you've just heard about it, of Chris Pakula, who like back in the day barely missed making the Hall of Fame on votes. And then because of the way the qualifications work, he like lost his eligibility, and he's kind of been chasing like this pro point that he needs to get back on the ballot, and he earned it this weekend, which is super cool.
Yeah, that was super cool. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats to him. And if you haven't checked out Enter the Battlefield, what are you doing with your life? Get on Netflix and watch it with your mom. A highlight of the weekend for me was obviously being able to do play-by-play, and I want to give a big thank you to Marshall for being so awesome in the booth and like helping me look good, basically, because he knows his stuff and he's been doing it for a long time. And LSV and Gabby and Tim also helped me prepare for this. And a big thank you to all of them, because it was just like one of the most fun things that I've ever had the privilege to be able to do. And I want to say thank you to everybody who sent a nice message of support, and hopefully we'll be back in the booth soon and be able to do some more of it. So thanks, everybody. It meant a lot. Well, we're here with LSV hanging out in Hawaii. How are you doing, LSV?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well.
All right. So the Pro Tour is coming up. You're going to be in the booth.
I am.
How are you feeling?
Good. I mean, it's kind of weird because it's the first time I haven't played in a Pro Tour in a long time, but I'm looking forward to it. I'm doing coverage prep right now. I'm actually typing up deck lists and all this other official coverage duties. So it should be fun.
I have a really important question to ask you. So I tried to slip in a monkey joke with Marshall this past weekend. Are you going to be able to do it successfully on Pro Tour coverage?
You know, I actually tend not to, but that's just because I'm very professional. I'm not amateur.
I don't believe you.
Okay. I'm not that professional, but I still generally shy away from the monkey jokes with Marshall. I don't know why.
Okay.
I think maybe that I got bored of them.
Yeah. You're ready to the next level.
Yeah, yeah. I got to figure out what the next thing is.
Okay. So ahead of the Pro Tour, what are you personally looking forward to seeing playing happening at the Pro Tour?
My favorite deck for sure is the Metalwork Colossus deck. Like, you have a bunch of artifacts, you make it free, you trigger Sanctum of Boon, get another one. It's just a really fun deck.
I haven't seen this one yet.
Yeah, I hope it shows up, but I don't know if it will.
How about a specific card? Are you hoping that anybody builds around a specific card?
It would be pretty cool if someone actually made an Aetherflux Reservoir deck, like a Storm deck, but I don't know if that's good either. But that would be really nice. If someone gets 50'd on camera, it'll be sweet. I mean, I'm sure there will be some copies of that in the Pro Tour. I just don't know how many.
I want that.
That would be my personal favorite.
I want that so much.
I see it in your eyes, Megan.
I do.
All the way from Hawaii. Yeah.
All I want is to gain a bunch of life and then fifth me my opponent. Who needs interactive magic, you guys? Not me.
Agree. How about draft? What would be your pack one, pick one ultimate dream?
I mean, Sol Ring is the easy answer. but if we're taking the masterpieces off the table, I don't know, Skyship or Sky Sovereign, the Consulate flagship, is a pretty good answer. The card I've had the most fun playing with is Restoration Gearsmith. I don't think big, just an uncommon will be fun
yes.
for me.
Okay.
I told Maria, you missed this part, but I drafted a deck that had two of them. It was beautiful. It was beautiful.
Yeah,
it
was great.
And amazing. So, I also, you know, I have a masterpiece, Sol Ring. Like, if you want to.
I did see that.
Sick brags. Okay, we might be in Hawaii, but we don't have a masterpiece Sol Ring. We get it, Megan.
Yeah, you know what? Do you want to swap?
No.
Yep. All right. I tried.
All right, I'm gonna give you a little umbrella for my drink. It's kind of janky, but this is a thank you for doing a cameo in Magic the Amateur.
No problem. Enjoy, and thanks for the umbrella.
Yeah. Tim Willoughby joining me now here in the pineapple booth, as it were.
The pineapple lounge?
Yeah, the pineapple lounge. Oh, that's a great name for it. So, Tim, you're going to be in the booth.
The pineapple lounge.
Do you know the name of the drink that's in there? It's the Blue Hawaii.
The Blue Hawaii.
You don't have a reason to be blue. I'm blue.
Oh, I'm so lonely. Come to Hawaii, Megan. Anyway, Tim, you're in the booth this weekend.
Yes, I am. It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun. I'm really enjoying this format, and I'm looking forward to seeing the crazy decks the people bring.
What are you most looking forward to see if you had your choice of any crazy deck to see?
So I was thinking about this last night. What I want to see someone do is use the blue Gear Hulk, Torrential Gear Hulk, and then use it to cast like a million spells from the graveyard. Saheeli's Artistry to copy it, and then just go absolutely loopy with just casting a zillion spells from the graveyard.
That sounds like something Megan might like to do.
I would really like to do that. That sounds pretty good to me.
How about draft? How are you feeling about what you want to see happen in draft?
I like the fact that aggressive decks are good, but I also really like the fact that silly decks are awesome. As we speak, I'm playing a ridiculous red-blue silly deck with 3 Vuela Virtuosos, and it's great.
Okay, and are you also running that Aetherstorm Rock?
No, that one's in the sideboard.
Oh,
okay. Sick.
But both Electrostatic Pummelers are very much in the main deck.
Oh, that's awesome. And you have a PNLR.
I do. Who pumps Electrostatic Pummeler?
Werther Virtuoso, top.
I've got one in hand.
And you bottomed it? Oh, you need an island. Okay, never mind.
I have one in hand anyway. I have 3. It's the best thing ever. These signposts are very, very clear.
So in your opinion, what is your favorite card to draft in Kaladesh?
It's a good question. Like, I refuse to ever pass the Panharmonicon because it's too much fun. I think that's basically my number one pick forevermore in this format. But there's a lot of really good picks. Like, Prophetic Prism just seems like it goes in every deck and is great in every deck.
I love that. I love this, like, playing Magic online and doing an interview at the same time.
Sometimes you just have to multitask. Like, I'm not built for it, but I'll do my best.
Okay. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Magic the Pineappling. Here's your commemorative mini umbrella.
Got it.
Oh, it looks great on you.
Thank you. Bye.
If you're interested in tuning in and watching Pro Tour Kaladesh here in Hawaii, which you should do, it's awesome to watch. Get those pizza rolls out. They do not support this podcast currently. But it starts at 9 a.m. local time here on Friday, all day Saturday, and Sunday will be the top 8. It's one of the best Magic events of the year, the Pro Tour. So make sure you catch it out on twitch.tv/magic. It's going to be a great time.
All right, everybody. We are here with Flavor Text Theater Kaladesh, dating game edition. So since Maria is in Hawaii and I have the pack in front of me, the cards, the contents of which will be added to our drawing for a Patreon subscriber at the end of the month, I'm going to crack this pack, choose three bachelors or bachelorettes out of it, and then Maria is going to have to guess the 3 of them. So here we go.
Oh, and now, like, anybody who ever thinks we cheat during this game, you'll know that it's definitely not true.
It's completely not. Okay, let me see. I'm going to sort through these over here for a minute.
Okay. While you do that, I just remembered we didn't talk about Grand Prix London, which also was happening at the same time as Grand Prix Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we weren't there or anything because teleportation doesn't exist, sadly, right now in our lives.
No, it doesn't.
But Marcio Carvalho won. He went 9-0 in draft matches. You might remember him recently from the World Championship as being a finalist against BBD.
Yeah.
BBD ultimately won the World
Championship. And he got there by being the draft master.
Yes, he did. So, well, I guess defending that title in London, our good friend Neil Rigby made top eight over there in London. He works on coverage, so that was really, really cool to see. So congrats to him, and congrats to everybody who had great finishes in London.
There was also a great photo of Neil online of him winning a GP, was it like 16 years ago?
Yeah, something like that.
And then of him winning this year, it's great.
Yeah.
All right, I've got them.
Okay.
Yes. All right.
Okay. Welcome to the dating game. Bachelor number one.
Yeah.
If we were in Hawaii together on a romantic vacation, what kind of drink would you buy me and why?
Well, I don't think that I would buy you just one drink. You know, I think it's important to invest a lot in a drink, and then you have to recoup your investment, and then I could get you another drink. So, like, while ultimately I might only get you a first drink, and it would be a really good drink, then I would hope to later, like, also get you more drinks.
Okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Bachelor number two, same
I'm not
question.
Just a one-drink person. Hey, okay, so I would get you, like, what's something really, like, something good? Do you know what? I just want to get in there, and it would just be, you know, like, it would be a drink that, like, tastes good. And it would, you know, it wouldn't be too much, but it wouldn't be too little either. It would be, like, a perfect, you know, like, it would be a perfect, good, first starting drink. I would get you a good drink. It would be good. I would be, you know, you'd be doing good after that drink. You'd be doing well. You'd be doing all right.
Bachelor number three, same question.
Well, I guess it just kind of depends, you know? Like, I probably wouldn't poison your drink, but there's a chance that I might. There's a chance that the drink might kill you. I don't know.
Okay. Bachelor number one. I want to know, you're meeting my parents for the first time.
Okay.
What is the first thing that you do?
I would give them a gift. I think it's important to give gifts. I would give them, you know, like some sort of like neat working trinket, you know. I would give them a gift. And then like maybe later on down the line, I would give them another gift later. Like I would hope to give them another gift later. But I would definitely give them a first gift. It would be a good gift.
What kind of gift are we talking about?
You know, like something practical. You know, something good. It would, you know, not like...
Something that sticks around or something that goes away.
Oh, it would stick around. Like, this gift does not go away. And it's not, like, amazing, but it's, like, better than the baseline gift.
Same question, Bachelor 2.
Hey, I would be, you know, first of all, I would be really excited to meet your parents. I think that they're doing good and I'm doing good. I'm always doing good, you know? I'm just great. I'm just generally doing great, and I would want your parents to see that, like, they're great also. So yeah, I guess I would give them, you know, maybe like some, you know, not anything like too fancy, and definitely nothing like made out of ivory, because that's messed up. That is like super messed up.
I want to say that you're Speedway fanatic, but I'm not sure.
No, man. Like, I'm just, like, doing better than that. I'm just, like, I'm doing so good. I'm just doing, I'm good.
And you hate ivory.
Yeah. It's messed up.
Long tusk cub.
No, man.
Don't know. Number Look, three, same
I'm just
question.
Doing good. Hey, I mean, look, I would get your parents, you know, like something cool. Like if they could even see me from, you know, like I might just like skulk behind, you know, like one of these things that holds up their porch or whatever, so they can't really see me. Like I would get them a gift, and like maybe it would be a deadly gift, but maybe it wouldn't.
All right, you're Narnum Cobra for sure.
No.
I quit. I'm so bad at this game.
Look, I'm just like, look, maybe they wouldn't even see me, okay? I'm just like, I'm just going to go.
Oh,
I'm just gonna
doomed
go
operative.
Hide. Yes.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Me.
Nailed
I'm
it.
Bachelor 3.
I still like. Okay, Bachelor number 1. I'm gonna guess fabrication module.
No.
Ugh.
Ask me another question. You've only asked me 2 questions.
Okay. Bachelor number 1. What kind of swimsuit would you wear if we're hopping in the gigantic pool behind me?
Well, let me see. Like, it would be practical, you know? Like, I always like to make things that are, you know, are worthwhile, that are, like, good, that are, like, a little better than average. So I would wear, you know, something that lets me still, like, I would probably swim laps while I was in there. Because I've got energy.
Werther Virtuoso.
Yeah. That's yes. Me! I'm Bachelor 1!
Bachelor 2.
Yeah!
Let's guess. Okay, Bachelor 2.
Yes.
I'm going to guess Bastion Mastodon.
No!
Okay, question.
What?
Let's see.
Okay.
What if you were... If you were a type of hamburger, what toppings would you have?
Okay, like if I were a hamburger, man, whatever just makes like a good burger, you know? Like what would make like a burger that's just like doing well? I guess just like all of the, like it's like really normal. It's like just a good burger. What's a good burger that's like doing really well? You know, just a regular, I guess it'd just be like a burger with like some ketchup and some pickles, man. Like a bun. Like maybe a slice of tomato. And then eventually, like maybe after you take your first bite, you could add more to me. Like you could add
this
pickles.
This is why I guessed Long Tusk Cup.
Look, you could like add more to me. But like, yeah. Like after you've already gotten, you're like going to get your first bite in. And then you add something. Like
Driving Rhino.
Yes!
I was so close. I should have guessed that one was easy.
He's just doing really well.
Today, we saw a sea turtle, and somebody asked me if it was thriving, and I was like, you know what? I said before that no turtle has ever thrived, and I think I was wrong, because that turtle looks like he's thriving.
Look, there's also this is the rare paradoxical outcome.
Ooh, excellent. Well, yeah. You can brew up a silly Etherflux Reservoir deck if you have that card. So that's going in the pool for our Patreon supporters. Mm-hmm. That's our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out on in Hawaii, back in Minnesota, and everywhere around the world that you happen to be.
Yeah. Thanks for checking out the show. Make sure you check us out on Twitter at MTAcast. You can send us an email at magictheamaturing.com. And, of course, we so much appreciate your support on Patreon. If you are able, you can throw as little as a dollar an episode our way, which is $4 a month, which helps us so much continue producing this content.
And thank you, of course, to our sponsor, Card Kingdom, for being an amazing place to buy your singles and trade in your cards for draft packs, mm-hmm. whatever the heck you want to do. CardKingdom.com/MTAcast. Use that link because then they know we sent you. So next week, we're going to be talking all about, we're going to be doing Pro Tour Wrap. I'll have some interviews with players. It'll be just general good times. You don't want to miss it. You know what I mean?
No, you don't want to miss it.
Megan, do you want me to get you some mittens down here from
back?
Yeah,
can you
Hawaii?
Buy me some Hawaiian mittens?
Yeah, I'll do that.
If you walk into a store, they're probably going to be like, what is a mitten?
Yeah, they probably would. Here, have a drink.